It's time to talk to the top Trailblazers beat reporter.
Damian Lillard, you get to the fourth, and he has been amazing.
The ultimate insider on Portland basketball and the NBA.
I think Terry Stotts has been very proactive in communicating.
This is the Blazer Fan Insider with Jason Quick, brought to you on The Fan by Change Realty, home of the 1% listing fee.
All right, welcome back in. Luke Anderson, Will Darkins filling in. It is your Center and Saint edition of Prime Time. Right now we're going to be joined by the Blazers beat writer for The Athletic, Jason Quick, on Twitter at JWQuick. Jason, happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays.
It feels like you and I always get to talk around this time of year. We had a couple questions that came up about the Blazers that we could not find definitive answers to. So I'm going to throw those out to you to start things off. First one comes to us from Yahoo Sports. Did you see this question with the picture of Zach Collins and Yusuf Nurkic from last night?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I need the answer. What do they do for a living?
I like Kyle Kuzma. Didn't he say Nurk was a jewelry dealer and Zach was a car sales or a car insurance salesman?
Somebody actually, somebody said Zach Collins was a Fred Meyer jeweler, like salesperson. That was kind of a mix up of it.
Oh, that's pretty fantastic. And then the question that Will put together as the poll question today, which Blazer would you hire as a mall Santa? and he gave Blazer options, but I'll let you go through the whole roster.
Let me look at the roster here. I'd have to say probably Yusuf.
Yeah, that's the front runner. I think the beard is driving people that direction. But that opened a whole can of worms because people don't know what nationality Santa is. So there's a highly contested debate on the text line right now. So,
but the thing is that Yusuf, probably more than anyone else on the team, loves kids.
Okay.
And he's amazing with kids. And I'm writing a story right now about the friendship of Nurk and Dame, and kind of the origins and how it's developed. And one of the really cool things in reporting this story is just how close Nurk is to Dame's son, Damian Jr. And it's a really cool relationship. And you can tell throughout that just how much Nurk loves kids. So that's why I think he'd make a good Santa.
Well, perfect. That's a fantastic answer.
Well, and I was going to ask, you know, because most NBA players and actually all around just kind of popular athletes, they always kind of have a cause that they take up wherever they go or wherever city they're in. Did this stem from anything that he did when he was in Denver, or does he have any other kind of charitable organizations he's closely tied with related to kids?
You know, not that I'm aware of, but that's a good question to ask. Thanks for helping with my job. I haven't noticed that with Nurk, though, of one of his charities being involved with kids.
So the Blazers are now 12-16. They avenged their loss to the hapless Golden State Warriors in a rematch of the Western Conference Finals in, I think, the most bizarre change of fortunes for two teams. But they're at 12-16. What's the mood around this team right now? Obviously, this isn't where they wanted to be at this point in the season.
Yeah, I think they're still trying to find themselves, and they know it. You know, they've won their last two games, but I don't think in either of those games, the win at Phoenix and last night's win against the Warriors, I don't think we've seen anything that gives hope that they're turning a corner or suddenly improved. In fact, I think it's the opposite. We're seeing the same mistakes on defense made over and over again. And the offense is still, I mean, it's okay, but it's still a little clunky at times. Carmelo's made the comment, Dame's made the comment that we're kind of a work in progress. They feel like they're a work in progress and they're still kind of getting used to this new starting lineup with Bazemore in there at small forward and Melo at the power forward. But again, I don't think offense is the issue. This team's it's defense. And since Melo has joined the Blazers, they have the 7th ranked offense in the NBA. But they're the 23rd ranked defense. Mm-hmm. So their net rating with Melo on the team is 15th, which is, you know, smack dab in the middle of the NBA. And that's what I would call the Blazers right now, a very mediocre basketball team.
Well, and you talk about the defense, and at least one encouraging sign that could be partly looked at as defenses, Hassan Whiteside's season-high 23 rebounds. And, you know, there was talk about the idea that the relationship between Hassan Whiteside and Damian Lillard has really strengthened to the point where, you know, he's kind of seeing him more as a mentor. I mean, has that been growing a lot, just kind of like the relationship of Stotts and Hassan?
To a degree. Look, I think offensively, Dame and Hassan have grown tremendously, particularly with the pick and roll. Dame is trusting Hassan a lot more. Hassan is setting better screens. He's rolling to the basket harder. So I think that's where the real growth has been. Hassan offensively has become a weapon for this team, and that has helped Dame in the pick and roll. Defensively, I still think there's areas of frustration with Hassan. I mean, yeah, his block numbers look good, his rebound numbers look good, but anybody who watches this team regularly sees that Hassan gets beat to rebounds. He is out of position a lot defensively. And it's really kind of almost on a game-by-game basis. There's some games where Hassan is the difference in this team winning or losing. He is so good that he pushes them over the top. But like last night, there were a couple times where you're just scratching your head, like, how did he not get that rebound? And he took a horrible shot late in the game. I mean, I think Terry Stotts was about to blow a gasket on the sideline. He took like a 17-foot jumper with, I don't know. There was like
who cares how much time was left?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of time left on the shot clock, and yeah, they were trying to burn clock with a lead, and he took a shot. And it's just stuff like that that just makes you shake your head. So to answer your question, I think Dame has really poured a lot of himself into helping Hassan along. And it's not just Dame. CJ's been there. Melo has tried to reach him. But I think Hassan is becoming more receptive to being a team player and what that means to be a team player. But I still think he's completely consumed by what his stats are. That to him, he looking at the stat sheet, dictates whether or not to him he had a good game, whereas the team and the coaches might have a different interpretation.
We're talking with Jason Quick on Primetime every Thursday, normally with Isaac and Sue, but Luke Anderson, Will Darkins filling in. So I think last night's win, if I'm not wrong, put the Blazers, a half game out of the eighth spot in the West. And I know it's really early to look at the playoffs, but you brought up the stat. They're kind of in the middle if you compare their offensive and defensive ratings. But the team's a work in progress right now. What happens when Yusuf Nurkic gets back and when Zach Collins gets back? Is it going to be another reset where they just become a work in progress two or three more times during the rest of the season?
Yeah, I don't know. I think this is going to be a very interesting month because they have a chance to make up some ground here. They've got some terrible teams ahead of them, and they should get they should improve their record here heading into the new year. And even going into the new year, you know, they play the Knicks, they play the Wizards, two of the worst teams. So my point is, if they get well here in the next month, then they're relevant. They'll be in the playoff hunt. And then, you know, Neil Olshey has maybe a little more incentive to make a deal at the February 6th trade deadline. And that's right about the time that Nurk will be coming back. So you got a little, you know, leeway. You don't necessarily have to get a center back if you trade away Whiteside. But if they continue to kind of stub their toe here and there, lose to the Knicks, lose to Phoenix, and they're just barely in the playoff picture, then I think Neil has to really weigh his options about, is it worth it to trade away assets to try to salvage this season? Or do we just, you know, stick to the long-term plan of developing around Dame, CJ, and Nurk with Collins and Simons being nice complementary pieces? So I think overall that is going to be the driving force, is that he wants to keep that core together.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and you mentioned that
other team gets desperate, you know.
Yeah.
If Detroit wants to have a fire sale and get rid of, you know, Blake Griffin, or if San Antonio punts on the season and wants to give up LaMarcus Aldridge, then I think the Blazers listen and see what the asking price is.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you mentioned that Stotts wanting to keep that core together of those three guys, and one of the other dudes that you mentioned along with that was Anfernee Simons, and I think that a lot of fans kind of look at the games that are going along right now and saying, like, where did this guy go? It seems like he's kind of disappearing a little bit. I mean, is it something that, like, he's getting lost in the offense or the fact that he's not getting enough ISO plays?
No, I think he's just a 20-year-old kid going through the growing pains of playing in the NBA. And I think the biggest thing right now is he can't stay out of foul trouble. He's not getting the benefit of the doubt on the whistle, and he's struggling a little bit with his shot. And I think that enters his mind a little bit. And, you know, but nobody in the Blazers, the players, the coaches, nobody is worried or losing faith in this kid. I think the most positive thing that I've seen and heard is, you know, Dame says at night he'll meet Anthony at the practice facility, and they're going through late night workouts. I was talking to his trainer, Anthony's trainer, and he came back off that long road trip, and the first thing he wanted to do that night was watch film. And so he's at 20 years old. He's got the work ethic and the habits of a professional, where he's not sitting there moping or playing video games or chasing tail. He's getting his butt in the gym, working with the team leader. He's sitting there on his couch watching game film, trying to analyze his mistakes and where he can make an impact. And that, is to me, is really encouraging. And you talk to Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, they're incredibly high on this guy. They are incredibly high. And so I think it's just a product of him being a 20-year-old who is getting his first taste of real action against grown men. And it's hard, and there's going to be growing pains, but eventually he's going to have to go through this. I think it's good that he's going through it now.
Fair enough. Jason Quick with us from The Athletic. Last question, get you out on this one, but the Blazers obviously have a lot of work to do before they get back to where they were last year in the Western Conference Finals. You have the two teams meeting as late in the season as ever happened in the NBA with less than five losses, Bucks, Lakers tonight. Is this a preview of the finals, or are there some teams that could come up and challenge at the top?
I think it's clear that they're the two best teams right now. And I was not sold on the Lakers at the beginning of the season, but after they came in here and kicked the Blazers' butt, and the more I've watched them play other teams, I think they're the best team in the NBA. I really do. And LeBron is, if I had an MVP vote, I would vote LeBron. And I know that's kind of blasphemy because a lot of people think Giannis is head and shoulders the best. But I think the whole package of scoring, defense, distributing, LeBron, and being a leader, LeBron has been incredible. And just the flair and the fun that the Lakers are playing, the way they're playing right now, it's really something. And that says a lot when you have the best player on the planet, getting other guys to buy in and enjoy the experience. So I think it is going to be the Lakers and the Bucks in June. But I think it's gonna be really fun to watch Giannis and LeBron go at it head to head tonight.
I think what's always really cool too between those guys is, like, Giannis tweeted this week that you know, the whole load management thing with LeBron, and he's like, it's LeBron James, the dude's an alien. Like, I like that they have that kind of admiration for each other.
Absolutely. I mean, the players know. The players have great respect for LeBron, and they should. He's a generational player.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is Jason Quick. Thank you very much. Have a very Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Hopefully you and I will get to talk again this season. If not, I'll talk to you next Christmas.
Okay. Take care, guys.